We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Draft Day 2019, our full draft coverage is now 12 hours and 3 minutes away, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Duke Zabel will be there 2 to 7. And then the draft show, Mike Conney, Randy McMichael, and Randy Mack will join Hugh and I at 9 a.m. this morning.
Randy McMichael and Randy Mack John. What is that, like his alter ego?
Wow.
Yeah, Randy McMichael and Randy Mack. Randy McMichael.
Yeah.
And Randy Mack.
Yeah.
They're not the same person? Is there yeah. somebody else named Randy Mack?
No, I'm just.
Yeah, no, I was. Because you said Randy McMichael and Randy Mack. Like, they're going to be two different people.
I said Mike Conney and Randy Mack. And by the way, Randy McMichael will. Okay. Yeah, I said the same person. Okay, I see what you said. All right.
No, it was just funny the way you
Mike
said
Conney,
it.
Mike Conney, Randy Mack. Randy Mack will join us at 9 a.m. Yeah. Okay.
No, it was funny the way you said it because it was like, wait a minute, is that three different people?
I get it now. All right.
No, because you know what? You probably own something. It could be Randy McMichael and Randy Mack because I think when he's at work, he's Randy McMichael. But when he's at home cooking on that grill,
he's Randy Mack. He cheesy Randy Mack?
Because hold up. Yesterday, I guess he bought his wife like a hibachi-style grill.
Oh,
Randy
did.
Mack is like—
How many grills does the man own?
Listen, let me listen.
Like 12?
It's certain vices that former players have when they retire.
Uh-huh.
Randy Mack's vice is grilling. I'm convinced of that. Every time I have a conversation with Randy Mack is talking about grilling something. So yesterday, I guess he had this hibachi thingy, and he had it on. He put up a picture of John. Randy Mack looked like you could put him at Benihana's, and he could get one of those chefs at Benihana run for their money. Now, all the thing I saw was him actually shaking the salt, but he had it on the little hibachi thing, and he was like flipping it and grilling like
a
chef. Yeah.
Okay.
And Randy, next time you come in, man, you got to bring whatever you cooking on that hibachi thing. You got to start sharing, man. You just can't
Randy
be putting up pictures. He shares. You just got to let him know. Now you got to let him know. And I even told him. We even told him, like, when the season starts and we get ready to do this whole Wave 4 thing, I'm gonna buy like packs of meat like during the summer and like give it to him and let him grill it. That's how you got to do. Like a guy like Randy, the way that he likes to cook. Just bring him a pack of meat, man. And that's the best gift that you can give him. Some kind of like, you know, ribs or something, some chicken. He'll cook it up for you. You'll have a friend for life. Just bring a pack of meat and maybe a six pack of like, some tall boys, a Hey Man Ale or some dark liquor. Yeah, it's a good time.
Mighty strange.
Randy Mack is not cooking tonight. He is going to be on the show at 9 a.m. and he's going to be with Mike Conney and Wes Durham and Dave Archer. Tonight at 7 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with our live coverage of the 2019 NFL Draft. Boy, our social media is doing exactly what I thought it might do here on draft day as we hit exactly 12 hours until the draft, not that I'm counting down. Our Twitter is buzzing at 99 The Game, not only in our poll about what would be the most surprising thing the Falcons could do tonight, which is our poll question of the day, but also in the comments section underneath it, which talking about that, we're also talking about the most impactful first-round pick in the history of the Atlanta Falcons, and choosing from that a list of seven very notable names and big discussion there. So we encourage you to get to our Twitter at 929 The Game and jump into that. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is roaring. Phone lines are roaring too. We're talking about the Falcons. I mentioned that the first call out of the box this morning, Ron in College Park said, you know, they wanted to trade up and try and, you know, finagle a trade with some current Falcons and whatnot. I mean, that to me, that's just like, I don't know how I get there, but he's worked it out. The trade I think the Falcons are going to make. When I said earlier that what the most surprising thing to me would be trading out of the first round is, given the fact to you that they have to have a win in the first round tonight, a guy that could come in and play immediately and impact this team positively right now, I'd be really surprised by that, but that's just me. I think they could trade up in round two. I really do. They have two fourth rounders and two fifth rounders to the point where you could take your third rounder, move up in round two, take your two fourth rounders, move back into late round three, and just kind of play that game a little bit, be behind the number one pick. The Falcons currently have the 45th pick in the draft in round two, all right? The 13th pick in round two. I could see them moving up seven, eight, nine spots in round two to grab a guy that they really like in that spot if somebody like DeAndre Baker or Rock Ya-Sin falls into the top of the second round.
Yeah, that potentially happened. Shout out to our producer, Abe, because he sent this text message out yesterday talking about that. And another shout out to my man, Von McClure, because it was his draft, his day before the draft predictions. He said the Falcons would use one of, or more of their nine draft picks to move up in the draft. Not saying this will happen in the first round with the 14th overall selection, but general manager Thomas Dimitroff has been willing to trade up or back throughout the years. There might be a player in the second or third rounds worth moving up for. Von McClure. So that might be the case. I think with that first round pick, John, honestly, there are too many good players at any position, especially the key position, offensive, defensive line, that you have to move up or move back for. I think that you're sitting in a good spot as far as getting a quality player at 14. And I think that's how they're looking at it. Now, to Von McClure's point, there might be some guys that you look at that might not be there in the position that you're in right now when you have to make some moves to get those guys. And that's what I think that they potentially are going to do. And, you know, I just want to point out that when people talk about – they're talking about this offensive line, and they're talking about how they need a guy and how Alex Mack's skills are declining at the center position. You got to keep in mind, people, that this team, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but they attempted to throw the ball a lot. And by throwing the ball a lot and not being able to run the ball, going into a game and a team knows that you cannot establish the run, that makes you one-dimensional. And in turn, that makes teams you very, very predictable because they're not worried about the run. So now you're exposing your offensive linemen to pass protection all the time. And if you ask any offensive lineman what they would rather do, run block or pass protect, they'll tell you flat out they want to run block because now they can dictate to the defensive line. When you're an offensive lineman, you're backpedaling and you're at the mercy of a defensive lineman that's running up the field, that knows where the quarterback is, and if he's a good one, he could use your momentum against you. Now, when you're run blocking, if you're 310 pounds, 320 pounds, going up against a 260-pound, 285-pound defensive lineman, then you are the dictator in that scenario. And that keeps them on their heels. So when people talk about Alex Mack being a guy whose skills are declining, Alex Mack probably dropped back and had to pass protect way more than he was comfortable with. And then you talk about the play of the guards. You're talking about he also had to help out guys who were getting beat one-on-one. So, of course, it's going to look like he's getting exposed a little bit. You run the ball a lot better this year, which I think that the Falcons are going to do. You get those positive yards in the run game. You're getting 5 to 6 yards a clip. When you drop back to pass the ball, this offensive line is going to look totally different. So just keep that in mind, people, when you talk about the needs of this offensive line.
Which is one of the things deeper in the draft. Be interesting to see in round three if there's a running back there that the Falcons really like, whether they would use a pick in round three for a running back. Let's go to Jake in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh on draft day 2019. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on this morning?
Not much. I'm just calling in to say, like, I believe the same thing. I don't think they're going to trade up in the first round because you still can get a good player at that number. If I ain't mistaken, they didn't trade up when they drafted Keanu Neal, and I think he was, like, what, round 17?
I believe so.
And he's still, you know, good player. So I believe that they will, if anything, trade up in the second round because I kind of feel like with Dan Quinn's job on the line, he's talking to Dimitroff. You ain't trying to go grocery shopping for the week. You trying to go get something to cook tonight. So I believe that they will trade some of those picks because all those guys ain't going to make the team anyway. So I believe they will trade probably around the second round.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, and that's kind of where I'm falling to. That's Jake in Atlanta. You got to cook for tonight, meaning that you got to win now. And so, a couple of years ago, actually, I think it was Keanu Neal draft. Arthur Blank, remember Hugh, put out the order, and it kind of circulated. You have to get four starters out of this draft.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think in this draft beginning tonight, you have to get two immediately impactful players and three potential starters. But two, to me, the draft is a success if you get two guys who can come in and be impact players right now. And I'm not just talking about starting. I'm talking about impact players.
I will say this. If that is the mantra that we're going to go with Coach Quinn being here as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, he's done that every year that he's drafted. He's done that every year that he's drafted. Now, you can argue that they might not have been – he might not have got that starter, that impact player in the first round, but he's gotten impact players every draft that he's been a part of so far.
True.
He's gotten impact players. So I think that's a given with Coach Quinn and the way he drafts. I think that at this point – We can let that go as far as talking about what we need to get, because that's what we usually get when we get draft picks. We get guys, whether the fans like it or not, Keanu Neal. Because I was at the draft party when we drafted Keanu Neal, and people were like, what the deuce? What the deuce? And he turned out to be an impact player, Pro Bowl player. So I think that goes without saying when you talk about this regime and what they're trying to go out there and get every time the draft rolls around. They're going out there to get guys that are going to come in here and be impactful players. They're going to be guys that you're going to sit around and say, boy, 14th pick, insert name here, he's been pretty good. He's been pretty good. Every player has been that. Now, the players that you look at in the past, Tack came in, had a good year, looked like he was poised to take that next step. Didn't happen like we wanted it to. Got to take that step this year. Coach Quinn has done a pretty good job of drafting guys. And putting guys in position to be successful. So I assume whomever Coach Quinn gets, if it's one of those situations where I look at it and say, oh, wow, didn't see that coming. He obviously knows what he's doing. And whomever that guy is, I expect him to be an impactful player like the ones he's been drafting so far.
It is draft day 2019. Our coverage already underway, of course, brought to you by NorthernTool.com at Northern Tool and Equipment, the fine sponsor of all of our draft coverage, and huge savings at NorthernTool.com all the way through our draft show, which begins at 7 o'clock tonight, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're asking you this morning on our Twitter, what would be the most surprising thing the Falcons could do in the draft in this first round or in the draft in general? A major trade into the top five, which would be very costly if you're going after Quinn and Williams. Trading out of the first round, would that be a shock? Drafting a defensive back, a corner in the first round with your first pick staying at 14, or drafting a running back as high as round number two. And one of the reasons we ask you about drafting a running back as high as round two is that really this draft doesn't have many, if any, first round running back picks. In Vegas, they're saying that they're not sure a running back will go in round one. It's not like you have a Zeke Elliott, a Todd Gurley.
No, franchise changer, difference maker. No, it's not one of those guys in this draft.
I mean,
that position.
Right. It may turn out to be in 5 years. We're talking about, wow, how did you pass on Justice Hill or John Jacobs or whomever, David Montgomery, look how great he is. But we've seen before that you can get great running backs in rounds 2, 3, and 4. Well, look at Devontae Freeman when he was healthy. I mean, fourth round pick and came in and did what he was able to do in terms of the Pro Bowls that he had. So we're talking about that with you on our Twitter this morning. Right now, 43% are saying the biggest surprise would be a major trade into the top five. 41% are saying trading out of the first round would be a major shock. 9% saying drafting a defensive back, and 8% saying in the first round, and 8% saying drafting a running back in round number two. Go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing because somebody said, you're talking about possible starters. Somebody said, John, are you playing spades this morning? So you're saying we need two or three possibles. From this draft, we need two or three possibles to say you're basically playing spades. You didn't get that enough. John, did you play spades?
No, I never
up?
Played spades.
That's terrible, John.
It must be
one of those cultural things.
I just never played. I played poker.
Hey, did you play? You played spades, so it's not a cultural thing. John, what were you doing? You were playing pinochle, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I digress. There ain't nothing wrong with pinochle. I guess. I don't know.
The family game was pinochle.
No, and then when what I else you play?
I play poker.
Yeah, yes. You playing for money.
I play Texas. Yes, Texas Hold'em in Omaha, right?
No, we playing for straws or something. Ain't nobody playing. You playing for, when you play spades, you play spades for bragging rights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's the reference then? Because I don't get it.
If you look at your book, say like you get your cards.
Right.
And you say they ask you how many books that you have.
Yeah, sure.
You say I have three.
Like pinochle.
Yeah, you have three and a possible.
Okay.
You have a three and a possible two.
All right.
Or a three and a possible four. If you got three and a possible four, then you got all the books.
Yeah, and
then
pinochle.
You ain't no good spade.
If you've got it in pinochle, it's called the nuts.
The what?
The Nuts. That's what it's called.
The Nuts?
Yep.
I don't know.
That's both Queen of Diamonds and Jack of Spades.
It sounds like Pinochle and Spades kind of like the same thing a little bit. So it is cultural. It's cultural. It's cultural.
You know, they play, what's it? Euchre is the game they play in Indiana. I'd never played euchre either, so.
So I guess I could pull up at a pinochle table. I just can't slap the table like that with the pinochle players. They'd be like, oh, my gosh, what's happening here? Can't be all aggressive.
Oh, no. Smack talk all the way around the pinochle.
No, John, it's a little different.
Oh, yeah. Hey. You guys have the Nuts? What do you, okay, you
John,
know what I mean? Yeah,
it's a little different. Tell them,
Queen of Spades, Jack of Diamonds.
It's a little different at a spades table now when you're talking trash. You might get into
you haven't
been to
my family yet. It gets to fighting there. Fighting
words. Hey, I don't know, John.
It gets ugly at the spade table now. What you want is, if you're Dan Quinn, in terms of Texas Hold'em, you want Big Slick, Ace King suited, right? Those are your first two picks. Yeah, pocket aces, you don't have, that'd be like two number ones. Right, so you take Big Slick, Ace King suited. That's all I'm saying. Now you know the poker analogy. Some of the other NFL headlines. Who's going to be the number one pick? Will Arizona trade the pick? And an owner in the NFL is taking control of his team's draft. Forget about what's happening in Oakland. What's happening somewhere else where the owner says, I'm in charge. What does that mean tonight? We'll tell you who next.
This is John and Hugh.
All right, let's get it on.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the 2019 National Football League Draft. And we have live coverage from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 7 o'clock tonight. The man of many hats, Mike Connie. The man of many grills, Randy Mack. The man of many games, Wes Durham. And the man of many touchdowns, Dave Archer. Unfortunately, we don't have many picks in round one except one. But we do have 9 overall, which is a lot. And by the way, that one is one more in the first round than the Dallas Cowboys have, which is 0. Then the Kansas City Chiefs have, which is 0. Then the Cleveland Browns have, which is 0. Then the Winer Swampers have, which is 0. Enjoy the day, Wider Swappers. You got nothing. Ha! And you'll like it. The NFL draft, as we continue our coverage, brought to you by northerntool.com, of course. Hey, by the way, we want you to help us out. Join the Relay for Life. You can help us raise money for the American Cancer Society. If you're online now and you're voting, you can swing over to relayforlife.org/join. That's relayforlife.org/join. Our team name is the Game Changers. We want you to join our team for the event May 3rd at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. John and Hugh on the morning show. More of your calls coming up. We're talking about you. Certainly you can jump into our Twitter at 929 The Game and vote in the poll. And not only vote in our polls, because we've got about 2 or 3 different conversations going on. You'll see all the multiple conversations we have going on our Twitter. One of the owners in the NFL has taken control of his team. Now, John Gruden didn't fire, right, Hugh?
Well, they're probably going to get fired, John, but he told me to send them home.
Go home, right, all the scouts.
Till he figure out who else he's going to hire in their place.
So one owner has told his general manager and his head coach, I'm in charge. He pounded the table and said, I'm going to run the draft. No, not Jerry Jones. No, Dan Snyder of the Washington Redskins is going to make all the draft calls. You think Jay Gruden has any impact on this team? He's like, they didn't even tell him about trades. You want to talk about a coach out of the loop?
He better deal if he want to keep his job. He better deal with it because it sounds like it's gotten bad over there.
Man,
you know what it sounds like to me? Because the owner is a guy who hires his head coach and his GM, and he, for the most part, they're in lockstep with one another. And he allows them to run the team. He allows it. Like say for instance, here. With Mr. Blank and the way that he has it structured. Now, he looks over everybody's shoulder and makes sure that they're doing the right thing, and he wants to see results. It feels to me like he's the type of owner that he'll, as long as it's going in the right direction as far as he sees it, then he's not going to have a whole lot of input. When you have an owner like Dan Snyder who feels that, like guys that you have hired that are scouting these guys on a day-to-day basis, and are evaluating these guys on a day-to-day basis.
By the way, this is not the first time Dan Snyder's done this. This is actually the second time.
Yeah.
He did it once before. And when he did it once before and took over the draft, he traded two future number ones and a number two to move up to take RG3.
And that's why RG3 is not there yet. I mean, not there anymore. But that says to me that you don't have any confidence in the guys that you hired to do the job that you're paying them to do. Now, scouts are in the trenches every day. They're going over it with the coach every day about these players and who fits what you're trying to accomplish and all of this other stuff. For you to go in there and usurp all of that and just do what you want to do, it's kind of crazy. I would venture to say that Dan Snyder's not out there. He hasn't gone over and looked at film on each and every one of these guys that the Redskins could potentially draft.
Big word.
All right, usurp. Got a big word for that one there, John Freaky. But, yeah, that's crazy. But does not surprise me. Does not surprise me when I order. This is the same cat that said, you know, when you're talking about my name at the Redskins, hey, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. Damn all of y'all.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he owns the team. He could do whatever he wants.
And as much heat as he got a few years ago about that, guess what? We still call him the Washington Redskins. So how you love that? He's still doing what he's doing.
Yeah, that's a different argument. We're not going to get into why I don't blame him for not changing the team name. He'd lose $1 billion overnight. But, yeah, we won't get into that because that's a separate issue. The draft is tonight. Arizona has the number one pick. They are on the clock, Hugh. Does Arizona, as we sit here right now, you know, 11 and a half hours away from the draft, what are the odds that you give that Arizona would trade that number one pick given all, and we are monitoring, by the way, I should say, all the social media for the NFL to see if anything's breaking this morning. What are the odds you give that Arizona would actually make that trade that has been rumored with Oakland?
I don't think they're going to make it. I think Kyler Murray's deal is already done, or they're finalizing it as we speak. I think that's the case. I think that's why Kyler Murray was basically acting the way that he was acting on his pro day, is that he kind of knew something that they did. They probably had a deal in place in principle. And so it was at that point, he was like, hey, ain't too much more for me to do. I'm going to be the first overall pick. That's my thought process. That's what I think.
The one thing that's true about draft day is whatever you think you know, you truly don't know. And, of course, the most famous example of when I say you, I'm talking about all of us, what you don't know and you truly don't know happened in the year 2000. Now, you may know the most famous draft pick in the history of the NFL. The most famous draft pick in the history of the NFL is Tom Brady because he was picked in the sixth round. Right, and I think everybody knows this. If you don't know it, but I'll tell you anyway. Everybody passed on him. He was taken in the sixth round. Tom Brady was a sixth round pick because when he was coming out of the University of Michigan, Hugh, people thought he was a little bit banged up, and B, he didn't really do a whole lot except in the bowl game against Alabama that really led you to believe that Tom Brady was going to be an effective NFL quarterback. I thought he was a big stiff of a guy at Michigan who couldn't move, who got sacked a lot. But has obviously proven to be a pretty darn good quarterback.
Really, really good quarterback.
In the year 2000 in the draft, because I looked it up this morning, I tweeted it out. Here are the quarterbacks, Hugh, that went before Tom Brady. This proves you don't know what you don't know. There was only one first-round quarterback taken that year. It was by your New York Jets in the year 2000. Do you remember who that was?
Was it Chad Pennington?
Chad Pennington.
Yeah. I wasn't with the Jets. I just had a feeling that's who it was because he's from Virginia.
Marshall.
Ain't that in Virginia?
No, it's West Virginia.
That's Virginia?
Well, it's West Virginia.
All right, then, John. Semantics.
In Huntington, West Virginia. But, yeah, no, so the Jets took the only first-round quarterback of the year, Chad Pennington. These are the guys that were drafted before Tom Brady. This is why you don't really know what
Chad Pennington was okay.
He was okay. All right, next quarterback taken was Giovanni Carmazzi by the 49ers.
Who?
The next quarterback taken, Ravens took Chris Redman.
Who?
The Steelers took the fourth quarterback off the board in round five, T. Martin.
Okay, T. I know T. Martin.
The Saints then, the Weiner Swampers, took Mark Bulger in the sixth round. Mark Bulger turned out to be
decent,
okay. Right?
He was okay.
16 picks. So there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks taken before Tom Brady. Tom Brady was taken with the 199th pick of round number six, and 16 picks before him in round number six, the Cleveland Browns selected Spurgeon Winn.
And you know what that whole story you just told me tells me, John? None of those cats that were drafted before him are even in the NFL now. They haven't been in a long time. Haven't been. Out of all those quarterbacks that you've named, it's only two that jump out at me that were pretty decent. Mark Bulger, Chad Pennington. And reason why Mark Bulger had a pretty good year, pretty good years, is because he went to the St. Louis Rams at the time. So
Right. The St. Louis Rams and kind of lit it up, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty impressive. I mean, it's not, you know, as much as we hate on Tom Brady, you gotta give him his props, man. You gotta give him his props. And that also tells you that evaluating these players, you never know what you're gonna get. You just never know.
And so you just don't know. What you don't know is what you don't know. I mean, Grady Jarrett was a fifth round pick.
And think about it like this, John. All the tests, all the interviews, everything that teams try to do to get in the psyche of a player and try to figure out the player and who's going to be better where, everybody thought that all those quarterbacks you just named were going to be better than Tom Brady. Think about that for a minute.
Spurgeon win.
Yeah, I don't even know that cat.
You're the Cleveland Browns. Now, you can't get mad at the Cleveland Browns for taking Spurgeon win, 16 picks before Tom Brady. How would it have changed the Cleveland Browns? But because, again, everybody passed on him all the way till 199, as we talk about with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, it was Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers. The Niners finally settled on Alex Smith, number one overall, and Aaron Rodgers fell to 24 to the Green Bay Packers, and everybody in between passed on Aaron Rodgers. You just don't know what you don't know. The Atlanta Falcons drafted Perry Jerry, Andre Bruce, Jamal Anderson, the other one. All these guys, number one, and they were bust, and they drafted Grady Jarrett in the fifth round. So, again, sometimes you just don't know. That's all. Let's not forget that just in the recent history of Dan Quinn, when Keanu Neal was taken, the people, the talking heads on ESPN went, oh, God, what a terrible pick. You could have gotten him in round three. This is awful.
But that's what people do, man. That's why it's so I find this whole process leading up to the draft is so fascinating because you could go back in the time machine and you could look at everybody that we've talked, every draft show that we've done before this one, and we could talk about somebody that we thought was going to be a special player, and they turned out to be hot garbage. I mean, that's the truth. And you look at them, and think about it like this, too. That's why, for me personally, I don't get too up with anybody, or I don't go too low, because you don't know what makes this person tick. We've seen guys that have tremendous athletic ability in college come to the pros, does not translate. We've had conversations where you say, oh my God, this guy's going to be a hell of a pro. Come to the pros, something happens, never the same. So that's the thing that makes this whole process a beautiful process. But this weekend, John, join me, Hugh Douglas, in 92.9 The Game this Saturday at the Sprint Store off Peachtree Parkway in Norcross from noon to 2. 92.9 The Game will have fun games and prize giveaways on site. Hang out with me, Hugh Douglas, and take advantage of the Sprint's best offers on unlimited plans, incredible devices, and much more. This weekend, Peachtree Parkway in Norcross from noon to 2.
Nate Davis is USA Today's draft analyst. He's going to jump into the program next. We're going to ask him, what does he think the Falcons will do in the draft tonight? We'll get his opinion as we continue on our coverage of Draft Day 2019 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's to select Julio Jones.
Now back with more John and Hugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely a fan. How can you not be a fan?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On this Draft Day 2019, let's get an outside perspective. I know we get kind of caught up in all of our rise up in Falcondom here. Let's go to one of the experts, USA Today's Nate Davis is their draft analyst, and he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Nate.
Morning to you guys.
So, Nate, let's just jump right into it and ask you, we'll get to the top of the draft in a moment. Falcons sit at 14. Do the Falcons value Ed Oliver because we only know what we don't know, and what we don't know is how much they value Ed Oliver, enough to move up in the draft to try to get him, or are they content, in your opinion, to stay at 14 and take the best player available from a defensive lineman standpoint? What do you think they're going to do?
I've kind of thought for a while. I mean, I haven't had them moving up, but I've seen, you know, the rumors in the last day or so that maybe they are a team that would consider a move up. And, you know, I think if you want Ed Oliver, you probably got to be willing to move up to around three or so to the Jets. I can't see them, the Bucks, doing a deal with them at five, obviously. So, I think it's probably going to be a scenario in terms of Ed. You know, if he starts sliding into the back half of the top 10, That seems more realistic to me, but I can't. I don't know that he's going to get there. I mean, I had him mocked to the Raiders at 4 in my final mock draft, and of course, you know, there is the Julio Jones, you know, precedent in Atlanta and that kind of thing. But I thought all along that they would go offensive line if they stay at 14. Just given the number of times Matt Ryan was on his back last year, the running game never really got going. I'm thinking O line for the Falcons, but if the Edson era is there, you know, I could see them trying to trade to 9 or something. It's hard for me to justify going up to 3 to do that kind of move.
I don't know if you have in your mock draft Kyler Murray going first, but if that is the case, if they do decide to get Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals, that is, what is going to happen with Josh Rosen, and what do you see his trade value being?
Well, Hugh, you know, I've thought all along, I mean, the Cardinals should hold out for that first-round pick, given that that's what they invested in him, and then a team picks him up, is going to get a quarterback who's already got a good chunk of his salary off the board. He's a pretty cheap investment for the next 4 years. But I would also settle, you know, for a 2 if I was Arizona. I don't know that they're going to get that. And at that point, I think I might just kind of wait and see where the chips fall, see if somebody gets hurt in training camp or preseason. Or maybe just let this draft play out. I mean, you know, we're hearing all the rumors now that maybe the Redskins are going to make some drastic move for Dwayne Haskins or whatever. So, I mean, there could be a scenario, say, you know, the Giants take a defensive guy at 6, and then, you know, if Haskins goes off the board, and say the Giants aren't necessarily in love with Daniel Jones, or he goes before number 17. You know, if the quarterback musical chairs have played out for a team like, let's say, the Giants, when they're on the clock at 17, you know, maybe at that point the Cardinals can pick up the phone and say, hey, would you rather have Josh Rosen for your second-round pick, which I think for the Giants is number 37, so pretty high, or do you want to take your chances on a guy like Drew Lock or one of these other guys? So at this point, unless somebody's willing to make, you know, a move the Cardinals are willing to accept value-wise before the draft starts, I think we might be getting into a territory where they just hold on to him and move him later on when the need is there for some other team in the league.
Nate Davis joining us. I want to go back to your Falcons comment. Nate Davis, USA Today. You're the second person that said offensive line. And you may be right. You and Jim Nagy, who's a draft analyst for ESPN and executive, you probably know Jim, executive director of the Senior Bowl. I sit here and I'm just kind of flabbergasted by that, and I know that some of our fans have said it too. The Falcons are in absolute must-win-now mode. And unless you're telling me, I guess you're telling me there's an offensive lineman who can step in right now and start day one. Because you cannot, they are not in any position to draft for depth right now. They've got to get somebody that's going to impact this team immediately.
Well, I mean, to me, I mean, that line was a huge part of their reason for their success when they went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. And they've lost guys since then, like Levitre and Trader, who didn't play particularly well last year. And I think this is a good O-line class, and I think they're in the spot where they could get a guy that you drop right in and plays right away. I believe in my last mock draft I had Juwan Taylor going there, and I think if you had Juwan Taylor and Jake Matthews, you know, as your bookend tackles for the next 10 years, I think he'd be pretty happy. I mean, I think Jonah Williams would be another guy you have to strongly consider, given his position for versatility and just, you know, the overall quality of the player. But I mean, in my opinion, I mean, that line has deteriorated, you know, in the years since the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously they're pretty set with Alex Mack. He's getting older, and Jake Matthews. I know that they picked up some guys in the free agency at the guard position, but I don't know that, you know, James Carpenter, Jamon Brown are necessarily guys that are going to solve those problems for you. Maybe Carpenter does, but you know, I think there's a reason the Rams let Brown go. And regardless, I'm not sure they're set at right tackle. So to me, you know, given that the offense has not hit on all cylinders the last few years, and just given, you know, how important it was for them, I believe that they had the same starting five the entire season the year they were at the Super Bowl. I think it's an area they need to take a strong look at.
Yeah, no, I mentioned to you, Nate Davis of USA Today, and you, I mentioned to you, I have no problem if they take an offensive lineman. You just got to tell me he's a day one starter and he's going to have an impact on this team. You can't draft a guy you're going to put on the bench.
Yeah,
you just can't.
I kind of feel the same way. And another position that the Falcons need to look at is running back position. On your mock drafts, if you've done this, what position or what pick do you have the Falcons potentially taking a running back in this draft?
Well, I haven't done one past round one yet. I will do that, you know, later tonight when we see how the second round is kind of set. But I think there's plenty of good running back depth in this draft. You know, I don't have one going off the board in round one. I might think differently now with the Marshawn Lynch news, and maybe the Raiders are a team that would take a long look at Josh Jacobs. But regardless, a lot of people think Josh Jacobs is the best one. He might be, but I don't know if there's a big difference between him and, say, like the fifth best guy. So, obviously, with the injuries Devontae Freeman's had, losing Tevin Coleman, I can see that being a position that Atlanta would address. But I don't think they need to do it until you can probably wait till round three and get a pretty decent player to step in there as the backup to Devontae Freeman, and probably even get a guy that could step in for Devontae Freeman if he continues to have injury issues. But that's not something I think they need to reach for or make a big move for. I mean, if they're sitting, your guy's two picks away, you're where he's going to go, maybe you do it. But otherwise, I think you can let that running back board come to you.
Nate Davis of USA Today. So broadly, we've seen a couple of moves. We saw the Chiefs trade out of the first round to get Frank Clark. We've seen Cleveland trade out to get Odell Beckham. Of course, the Saints and the Cowboys don't have first-round picks because of deals and whatnot. What do you expect tonight? Do you think there's going to be a lot of movement tonight, or will it stand fairly pat? Are we going to have a lot of action, or are we just going to kind of go pick by pick by pick by pick?
It's so hard to know. I mean, there are always just movement. I kind of got into a point. I used to be one of those guys that wouldn't mess with trades in a mock draft. I went ahead and threw two in mine, and I'm talking to you guys from the Washington, D.C. area, and all the buzz for the last 24 hours has been Dan Snyder, allegedly taking over his draft room, and, he's going to make some massive moves, come up from 15 to get Dwayne Haskins in the top five or whatever, so... I think you're going to see it. There are teams in the top 10 who I think want to get out or at least move down. The Jets at 3. I think the Bucks probably would do it at 5 if you give them an offer they like. I think the Lions would like to move out at number 8. And like you said, you've got teams like Seattle and Green Bay and others who have 2 first-round picks. The Patriots have 32 and a ton of other ones after that. So there are plenty of teams with the ammo to move up. You see it every year. I think you will. The question is who are you coming up for? And typically, that's a quarterback. I don't think this quarterback class is as good as last year's, but it only takes one. And if one team is in love with Dwayne Haskins, maybe you see the Redskins jump up to get him. If the Giants are in love with Daniel Jones, maybe they pick a defensive guy at 6, but then they try to leap over the Broncos and the Dolphins and the Redskins or whomever, Cincinnati from 17, to get Daniel Jones. I mean, I think those are the moves you'll probably see because you always see it for the quarterbacks. Otherwise, you kind of see those 2 and 3 pick moves to get a guy you targeted. But I don't know that anybody's going to make some massive move up the board to get Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa or anything like that.
All right, Nate Davis of USA Today. Thank you, Nate. Do appreciate it.
My man, thank you.
All right, thanks.
It is draft day 2019. What do you have to say? What is going to be the biggest surprise for the Atlanta Falcons tonight? What do you want to see? Those are our poll questions, and we're talking to you about that. Ahead of our coverage of Round 1, live on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.